Patan today on News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ. Stay here. This is going to be good. It'll be enlightening, that's for sure. And one of these guests, you will know from television, for sure.
KMJNow.com, exclusive podcast. From both sides of the radio dial, AM and FM, Ray Appleton on News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ.
Listen up, because this one is going to be like brand new to you. I'm sure you've not heard much about this one at all, other than the brief explanation that we gave you when we popped on about an hour ago. And you may have comments and questions, too. Let me give you the numbers very quickly. 490-5858. And anywhere on the entire west coast of this country, 800-776-5858. Mark Capitan, attorney at law, remains in the KMJ studios. Also joining us in the studios is Albert Ramirez, who is the in-house counsel for Albert Ramirez Bail Bonds and the general counsel for the Golden State Bail Association. Albert, how are you, brother?
Very good, Ray. It's a pleasure being here.
I'm glad you're in the studio. Good to have you here. Joining us via the telephone, you know this lady, Beth Chapman. She is the president of the Professional Bail Agents for the United States of America. And you know her from the television program Dog the Bounty Hunter. Beth, what an honor, what a pleasure. How are you, my dear?
Hello, how are you?
We're doing very well. Great to have you on board.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
This issue, ladies and gentlemen, is a little bit complicated. Mark, you explained a little bit of it in the first hour. Go through the explanation again very quickly.
Well, Assembly Bill 42 from the California legislature is trying to change and get rid of bail agents and trying to change from a money bail system to a risk-based system. And I think the first thing we have to ask one of the guests is, how does bail work? What is bail? A lot of people don't understand how it works. So, Albert, what do you typically do when a person comes to you for bail?
Well, bail is actually a very liberal system that is designed to allow defendants to get out of custody before trial so that they can prepare their defense. And essentially what happens is the court sets the bail amount. Usually it's through a bail schedule. The defendant comes to the bail agent. Usually it's not the defendant. It's his family or friends comes to the bail agent. And the bail agent charges 10% generally of whatever the bail amount is. So if the bail is $10,000, the bail agent will charge $1,000. Then they get co-signers from the family and friends to be good for the whole $10,000. And the beauty of that is then the co-signers now have an incentive to make sure that defendant appears for all of his court dates. And if for some reason the defendant doesn't, then we can go to those co-signers. We can say, hey, where's your son or daughter? And they're going to help us recapture that person and get him into court.
So the whole system is based on assuring that people will show up in court, correct?
Absolutely.
And you guys even offer payment plans on that nowadays, right?
That's right. And that's why bail is actually quite liberal in a way, even for poor people. When the opponents of bail talk about a wealth-based system, it always makes me cringe because bail really – you know, the payment plans are there to counteract that whole thing about it being a wealth-based system. Generally, bail agents don't even charge interest for their payment plans, which is unheard of.
And for the general public, it and I want to get to Beth here, but for the general public, it basically costs nothing to the taxpayer because it's all based on a business model that the bail agents run, correct?
Exactly. It's a private industry business model, Mark. And we do all this with no taxpayer payments. Most people who are released pretrial today in the state of California are released through a private surety bail system. And the opponents of that system are seeking to change it. And it's based on complete nonsense. I mean, bail is – the only thing that's prohibited about bail is it cannot be excessive. And just because you cannot afford to pay the bail does not mean it's excessive.
Beth, what do you say to these people that say that the bail system as it is in the state of California is unfair to those indigent people, the poor people? How do you respond to that?
Well, I continue to tell them people are not in jail because they're poor. People are in jail because they broke the law. I mean, we keep forgetting that someone broke the law. A police officer felt there was probable cause to charge that person and to bring them in for safe harbor against our communities. I mean, we've forgotten about what this is about. You know, this isn't – people are not in jail because they're poor. They're in jail because they broke the law.
Right.
Now, you know, that is a consequence that if you are poor, you do not get out of jail as quickly as others do. But there are already laws on the books currently that provide for the truly indigent. And by truly indigent, I mean if you were so poor – that you stole a loaf of bread from a grocery store, then, you know, there should be very special consideration given to you, because no one wants to treat a poor person who is starving to death, you know, in an inhumane way. But if you went and shot dope, bought drugs, drank yourself silly, and then, you know, chose to feed yourself last, then there's a repercussion for that choice that you made. And we, the people, have got to stop coddling people and acting like crime now is a disease.
Amen.
Crime is not a disease. Crime is a choice. And people, you know, they go out and they make their own consequence. And I try to tell people, you know, the day in the life of a heroin addict, they get up in the morning and they probably drive their car with no registration, probably don't have a driver's license, probably have a warrant for their arrest for something, one of those three things, goes and picks up his methadone where he then gets well. But then he goes down further where he robs like a Walmart or a Kmart and relieves them of 10 or 20 cartons of cigarettes. Then they go down into Chinatown where they can get 50 cents a dollar for each one of those. And now the guy's got tangible cash money in his hand where he then goes and buys drugs. Which one of those crimes, all nonviolent,
yeah,
which one of those crimes should we give them a free bond for? Or let's say all of them. But then what happens on Tuesday when he wakes up again?
Yeah,
ain't that the truth?
Because there's no common sense being applied to this. We can all get behind the fact that there are some people who are highly challenged and cannot come up with a lot of money, and they are out making desperate moves. But those people generally don't do it again and again and again. And so if they had some type of common sense rules around them that are like, you know, if you have failed to appear on a PR bond in the last year, you don't get one. If you're on bond already for a felony, you can't have one. If you, you know, if you've been convicted of a crime in the last 3 years, you don't get one. I mean, I think everybody could get behind a movement like that, because no one wants to keep someone who is truly poor, truly indigent in jail. It's not fair, and we all feel bad for them.
You know,
but there are also parents that don't want to get their kids out, who they want to let them have that knee-jerk, shocking moment that jars their memory forever and ever. I don't want him out of jail. I want him to stay in jail where he's safe for 2 weeks while the drugs come off of him. There are people that want their child to get caught so that they can get them straight, so that they can talk to them. And these pretrial release people come along with no expertise whatsoever, no training and no education, and use a, you know, an 8-question risk assessment is really risking our lives.
You know, Beth hits the nail on the head, too, because, Beth, part of the sense that you're talking about, that they have no sense, the drug addicts don't have the sense to do the right thing, is they don't care about tomorrow and whether they're going to jail again. They just care about today, right?
Right.
So they're not going to voluntarily show up if they don't choose to voluntarily show up. If they want to do drugs, they're not going to show up. So it's not assuring that the people will come back to court. And how hard is it for you? I've watched the show. How hard is it for you guys to go out and find these people? And can a probation department do that same type of job that you guys do?
Well, I mean, that's kind of a trick question. One, we're really good at what we do because we really just did it every single day. There's a lot of crews out there that just go out and catch people. We made it look very easy on our show, of course, through the miracle of editing. We
right.
didn't show you that it was a 3-day chase, or, you know, that we had to stake out somebody, or that we had to pay actual cash money to get the actual informant. We can't show you all those things. People are not going to talk to probation. They're not. And I've showed over the course of my 15-year television career that people will tell dog because they relate to him and they know that he will help them. And they know that there's help and there's strength that comes from their local bail agency, because they'll help you. They'll get you into court and they'll stand by you even if you go to jail. And there's a lot to be said for that. And no button can ever, ever, ever replace the human touch. And these bail agents from all these communities, these mom and pop operations that have been on the books for over 200 years, have been doing this at no cost to the taxpayer. This user-funded service that people have come to, you know, they depend on it. They see them everywhere. They see them every day. They know they can call them and say, look, I don't want the cops to go get Johnny, but you go get him, because if the cops go get him, he'll catch another case. This has always been a very healthy, productive relationship between the community and bail enforcement, because they don't want their kids in more trouble. They just want them to get out of the trouble that they're in. And just like letting people just walk right out the criminal revolving door that we've created now at the jails has done nothing but cause damage to our communities, danger to our children, and pure chaos to our courtrooms.
And that revolving door is so big and so fat here in California with the addition of a couple of propositions that have just doomed us. Beth, let me ask you the obvious question here. What are the legislators proposing here in the state of California in lieu of the present system? What do they want to do instead of using you, the bail agent?
Well, they want to use the pretrial services, which is the 8-question questionnaire, as a risk assessment. And I think in some parts of California, they want to use an algorithm, which basically does not take into consideration their past. It doesn't take into consideration how many times they've been arrested. You know, there's, you know, this whole premise that just because a person is caught on a traffic offense doesn't mean they're not a killer is a little bit crazy.
I know.
And I think that going through algorithms and things like that, where you are taking out all of those profiling mechanisms, is the wrong thing to do. Like, we really are not here to coddle criminals. We really are not. We're here to take them off the street, give them a court date, let them have their day in court. But what we are willing to do is let them get out on a bond, a promise to appear, or that you promise that you're going to appear for this gentleman. And if you do not, this gentleman is going to come and hunt you down and bring you back. But we will let you get out of jail and go and fight your case productively prior to you being convicted. But if you're convicted, then you have to go back in. This system has worked for 200 years, and it has been very, very effective. Very effective. If you look at how much, if you look at how much money has been collected by the courts and the counties by bail agents who haven't been able to bring their person back, they face the full face of the bond. If that bond is $10,000, the bail agent has to pay the court the $10,000 because they were unable to ensure that person's appearance. But then he gets a chance to still go out and find him. And what incentivizes him is that he could get his money back if he catches the guy. There are no other people out there working with these kind of incentives. There's no one out there working with personal accountability on the line. These bail agents put up their homes, their cars, everything they own, so that they can be in a position of trust.
It's all on you.
To be a sufficient surety. I mean, I don't know, understand where in the rules making that pretrial services, people who can come fresh out of high school, became sufficient sureties. They're not. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of good intentions going on at the legislature, but I think that they're not taking into consideration the unintended consequences of their actions.
We need to take a very brief time out. We will continue on KMJ with Mark Capitan, Albert Ramirez, Beth Chapman on this issue of bail in the state of California, where we just do all kinds of stupid, goofy things. 490-5858. We'll hit the phones too, time allowing. 800-776-5858. Do not move. We'll be back in a flash. Back at you at News Talk 580-1059 KMJ, the Ray Appleton Program. Now in its 30th year. Somebody grab me a wheelchair. Joining me in the KMJ studios, Albert Ramirez, who's locally in the bail bond business. Mark Capitan, attorney at law, who helps me out once in a while. And on the telephone, you know her from Dog the Bounty Hunter, the television program. Great show. Beth Chapman, who's also the president of the Professional Bail Agents of the United States of America. And Albert says she's a fantastic president, doing a phenomenal job. So kudos to her. And great that she's joining us today. All right, let me grab a telephone call from the audience here very quickly. Mark, it's all yours. We got to be quick, but you're on KMJ. Go for it.
Yeah, hi. Like Albert said, it's the judges that set the bail schedule, not the bail bondsmen, but they appear to be taking it out on the bail bondsmen, thinking that we're charging people too much to get their freedom when we don't set the bail.
That's
and like
true.
Albert said, most of us don't even charge interest on the money that we charge. So they're killing the messenger instead of going after the judges. 20 years ago, I told Rick Justin, that who was a bail agent here in Fresno, that we needed to get judges to lower the bail schedule, and he didn't think that was a good idea, but I actually believe that would be an answer to something. Lower the bail schedule to something more reasonable, but don't get rid of bail bondsmen. In the state of Pennsylvania, they have in Philadelphia especially, they have a cash bail system where they don't have bail agents. They had $2 billion, with a B, $2 billion in warrants for people who had failed to appear in court and were running around with warrants for their arrest. All the state of Philadelphia did, or the state of Pennsylvania did, was just write off $2 billion to the taxpayers.
Oh, lovely.
So like Albert says, we don't cost anybody anything. If anything, we're a money generator for the state of California. Because if we don't find people, we pay every time, no exception.
Well, this obviously is another one of those situations where something was not broken, but somebody felt they needed to fix it. And in the fix, they're going to wind up breaking it, which is so typical to how this state operates now. Just blows my mind. Albert, you wanted to say something about the risk assessment aspect of this being potentially discriminatory.
Yeah, Ray, ProPublica, which is a liberal outfit, a liberal webpage, did a study in 2016, I believe it was in August, and they found that these risk assessments discriminated against black defendants.
How so?
Well, when you had the way that, as you know, an algorithm is still written by a human being, and so it tends to have the same biases that they would have in real life. And they found that when black defendants with the exact same criminal history were evaluated on these questionnaires versus white defendants with the same criminal history, the black defendants were considered to be higher risk. And Jeff Adachi, who is the public defender for San Francisco, they just instituted what's called the Arnold assessment up there. And he wrote in the Daily Journal in August of 2016 that not only the discriminatory, but even the data-driven part of the tool is suspect. They had people who had 10 felony convictions who got lower scores than defendants with only one felony and one misdemeanor. So these things are like a black box. It's like your FICO score. You may know what factors that they have that goes into the calculus, but you don't know how they weigh those factors because that part is proprietary.
You know, the other thing, Ray, is that a judge is already supposed to make these assessments. There's a bail schedule that they set so a person could immediately bail out, not have to wait for a hearing. At that hearing, though, when you're in front of a judge, they have to determine whether you're a flight risk or whether you're a risk to the public. And a judge is supposed to only set that amount of bail that will ensure the person's appearance. And so they do take into consideration how much a person makes.
Right.
So
allegedly.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that may be part of the problem if there is such a problem. I don't know if there is or not, but that may be part of the problem is just reinsuring that judges do their duties to make proper assessments.
Do we know of the legislator that wrote this? Where did this little gem come from?
Yeah. AB 42 is from Bonta, who's up in the Bay Area, and there is a companion bill, a duplicate in the Senate, SB 10, and that's written by Hertzberg. Both very liberal. Hertzberg is from the Southern California area. Essentially, these bills only deal with misdemeanors. They're really unfortunate bills because misdemeanors already are presumed eligible for OR release. So these would force judges to release misdemeanors who are already considered high risk by the judges, like repeat drunk drivers, spousal abusers who are already high risk.
So if this were to pass and the governor were to sign it, does this effectively eliminate the bail agent?
Yes, it makes us at the very bottom of the menu. They could only allow, and this would only apply to misdemeanors, it would only allow bail if the judge finds there's no other way that a defendant could be released without bail.
Very odd.
Yeah, and the thing that's also odd,
Go ahead, Beth.
Albert, I also think that, you know, what's suspect about that is that, you know, in some of the movements that have happened in Prop 47 and Prop 57, they've basically reduced, you know, larger crimes down to misdemeanors. So when we say this only applies to misdemeanors, that is a whole long list of things. And in Prop 57, you know, sexual assault on an intoxicated person became a misdemeanor. Bringing a bomb to school became a misdemeanor. Giving a handgun to a gang member became a misdemeanor.
Don't get me started.
You know, when, right. So, you know, I mean, I don't want to downplay the fact that it's just misdemeanors because of the other two prop questions that have been posed in California, things that used to be considered criminal are now not criminal. I mean, you know, which is why, you know, the people who are pushing these bills are able to say crime went down in California. Well, crime didn't really go down in California. You just decriminalized all these things.
Amen, Beth. I'll tell you, you hit that once again, the nail. Man, you are bright because I'll tell you what. California needs to wake up. The people need to wake up. The intent of the legislature in this bill, as I'm reading it, basically states to safely reduce the number of people detained. And I am going to take off the safely. The intent of all these people up there in Sacramento is to reduce the number of people detained because they did not build enough jails when everybody said you need to build more prisons and jails.
No kidding.
Crime is going up, and you can't just have the solution to be release everybody,
let them all
get
out.
Rid of bail agents. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the interesting thing is this, if these assessments are instituted and these bills are passed, it will probably lead to more people being incarcerated because they want to move to more of a federal model. And we know in the federal system that people, there is no bail schedule. So people are just held in custody until they can be brought to court. And that can be 2, 3, 4 days on a weekend or a holiday.
Yeah. And the federal government
cost more money in the long run to house all of those people for the long term. Instead of allowing them to post bond and to let us, you know, watch them and run after them. You know, the whole user-funded service has really got me baffled because it's a user-funded service. This isn't a government entity. This isn't, we're not getting grants or, you know, we're not getting any federal funds or anything like that for anything we do. It's quite the opposite. We're giving them grants and money and, you know, forfeitures and whatnot. And we pay for extradition costs. I mean, we really take, you know, the financial cost out of, you know, allowing people out of jail prior to their cases being adjudicated. It really has been a user-funded service. And really, none of these agencies really know the totality of the actual loss that they're going to incur, not just in hiring more staff and bringing in more people, but the amount of law enforcement resources that they're now going to have to expend to even try to bring people back. But how do they bring them back? So if they're out on misdemeanor crimes and we let them go on a promise to appear and then they fail to appear, how are they even to arrest them when they know it's not arrestable? There's no bond. It's chaos. It's chaos. And it has not been well thought out.
It's so California. Beth, I got to take a quick break for a little bit of news item here. How are you doing on time, my dear?
I'm fine.
You're okay? Okay, super.
I'm okay.
All right. Aaron Abatia has news on KMJ. We will be right back. Don't move.
The phone lines are open at 490-5858. This is the Ray Appleton Show.
To reintroduce, joining us via the telephone, we have Beth Chapman. You know her from television and Dog the Bounty Hunter. She is the president of the Professional Bail Agents of the United States. In the studio, Albert Ramirez, in-house counsel for Albert Ramirez Bail Bonds, and my dear friend Mark Capitan, attorney at law, and fellow musician, fellow noisemaker with the Appletones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're playing a gig Saturday night at the Tower Theater. You will be there because I'm going to give away some tickets a little bit later. You know? We're talking about something going on here in California where they're at it again, trying to fix something that didn't need fixing. And that's basically removing bail in a certain aspect of criminal activity, which we will re-explain if you're just joining us. It's not as complicated as it may sound, but it's ridiculous. And what it will effectively do is put a lot of bail bondsmen out of business. You know, phone calls from you. Barry, go ahead. You're on KMJ. Hi.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody.
Hi.
Wanted to touch quickly on a couple of things here that I think are worth mentioning. Number one.
First, before you do that, tell everybody who you are because you have a title.
Sure. My name is Barry Perlstein. I'm the former president of the California Bail Agents Association.
There we go.
And I run a bail bond company here in Fresno.
Do it.
Good to hear you, Barry.
Oh, good to hear you, Albert. So what we have here, back in the late 80s, early 90s, Governor Brown did a similar scenario whereby he instituted a 10% law, and I don't know if you recall that, Albert, where you could post 10% cash bail at the jail or court. That bill ended up sunsetting and being taken out of California law because it was horribly ineffective and a complete failure because they had a very high failure to appear rate. Back when presiding judge Armando Rodriguez was the presiding judge here in Fresno, we had Steve McGarian as the sheriff. We did a study on pretrial release here in Fresno County, and that showed that all forms of pretrial release other than the pay bail system showed a failure to appear rate at nearly 65%, whereas bail bonds posted cash bail with the bail companies had an overall success rate of near 99%. So you have a complete failure of a system that's already been proven a complete failure, and now they're wanting to go back at it again. You have people like George Soros, a billionaire, investing millions of dollars through nonprofit organizations that are set up to try to get laws like this passed in states where they want people just to be released on their own recognizance with no ability to control these folks' appearances in court. And I think at the end of the day, we're going to see that these bills are going to fail because we've already proven that that they're completely ineffective. So I just wanted to make that point. I really hope that your listeners are watching this closely because I think that it's going to be bad public policy if they go down that road.
Yeah, I'm sure many are hearing about it for the first time today, so this has all got to sink in. Yeah, but go ahead, my friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just want to make a quick comment, Barry, along with what you're saying. A lot of people seem to forget how bad the system would be for the victims. See, with bail right now, we make sure the defendant gets to court. And that's so important because if the defendant does not go to court, then basically the system gets delayed while they have to rearrest that defendant. And usually it's only done if there's no bail involved. It's usually only done on a new traffic stop or something like that. So for the victim, you know, witnesses disappear, evidence gets lost, memories fade. Basically, for a victim, justice delayed is often justice denied. So it's really terrible for the victim. And there's been a shift in California from victims' rights to the rights of prisoners and defendants. I think we need to be right in the middle. Yeah, I think we need to be right in the middle. Both sides are important. You can't favor one over the other. You want to make sure for justice you get that defendant to court in a timely manner.
You know, it's interesting that that most people don't see, except for watching something like Dog the Bounty Hunter, is Barry's right. It has to do with the money incentive of getting people back into court and that 99% success rate. But Beth will tell you, what you see on that show really does happen. The individual, the accused, the defendant, has this trust relationship, this respect relationship with the bail agent that no one would ever suspect until you see a show like that or when you work in my business and you work with the bail agents. They really want to show up to not only because of the money aspect, but because they respect their bail agents. They are almost, they're friends with them. They go to the same bail agent generation after generation after generation. It's interesting phenomena.
Well, it's like having your neighborhood doctor. You know, this is the person that knows you the best, really. I mean, you know, your doctor knows your physical body, but we know you. We know you.
You know what's
so
funny?
You know, and I think that where California, they did something really right when the O.J. and Nicole Simpson incident took place. They went hardcore after domestic violence and after, you know, for victims' rights. But they went so far that bail became unaffordable, a $25,000 bond for domestic violence on the first time and a $50,000 on a second time. Those were all great movements because it really did curve domestic violence. It really did. But when they did that, they set so many other bonds so high that, you know, I think that that's where that movement in California came from, was because their bail was automatically set high through the bond schedules. But now they've swung so far the other way that victims are afraid to even report crimes.
Exactly.
Because they know the person isn't even going to go to jail. You know, look, if you have a home invasion on your house, that's considered nonviolent. That's on the list. So you get a nonviolent, the guy comes in, the cops catch him in your house, they go down, take him, get his fingerprints and his picture, and he's back out. He's back out, like in 30 minutes.
Yeah, you know what's weird?
30 minutes.
You know what's weird is it's just not something that sometimes the general public can understand, because it's just such a different world that we live in as criminal defense attorneys and bail agents and probation officers and things of that nature. And so what these people, these professionals here today are telling you folks out there in radio land is that they've had a system, like Beth says, for 200 years that's worked. And why do these legislatures think that they could change it and it's going to work better? It's just not.
Because it helps them sleep better at night.
I guess.
They think they're doing something for society, you know. that's going to help some poor soul in the ghetto in Los Angeles. So they get a good night's sleep over it, and that's that.
And like Beth said, for free.
You know,
it's a system that's free to the public.
It's not only for free. I'm sorry, Beth. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say, it's not only for free. As Beth had said earlier, bail agents actually pay money into the system. And in California, we have a penal code section, 1463.009. Sorry for the non-lawyers out there. But basically what that says is that the money that is paid when there's a bail forfeiture, which could be a lot of money, could be $100,000, that money can be used for victim restitution. And that is really great. Now, these pretrial release programs, they don't pay any victim restitution. They collect money from the taxpayers. We pay money into the system.
Absolutely.
Nobody's going to bring these folks back either, Albert. I mean, at the end of the day, we put this system in place. We've already got hundreds of thousands of outstanding warrants here in California for folks, and we've got nobody to go after them. There's no money in the budget for these law enforcement agencies to go and collect these people up. But when they choose a private bail agency and that person fails to appear, we go out and we bring them back at no cost to the taxpayer. So the system works.
Yeah, it does work. Beth, we're going to wrap this issue up here, and I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. Let me get your final words on this, please.
Well, I think that definitely, something's got to be done. They've got to really fight these hard. And I think that they've got to draw out as much people in the public as they possibly can. Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, all of the coalitions for crime victims. Everyone who has ever been a victim has got to pay attention now, because these laws are being passed without them even knowing that they're happening. So thank you so much for bringing us on your show and letting us have so much time to bring awareness to this, because I think it's really important for all the moms who are trying to protect their kids and for anybody who, as I said, has been a victim or knows a victim. You got to get involved now so that we can protect those people.
Amen to that. Thank you for the time, my dear. I know your plate is full. You're very busy, but we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Beth.
Take care.
Once again, that's Beth Chapman from, you know her best from Dog the Bounty Hunter. And she's also the president of the Professional Bail Agents of all these United States of America. We will come back. We will wrap it up with Albert here in the studios. And I hope you're getting something out of this, because this could be another fine mess that the state of California is getting us into that could indeed affect all of us, because again, it's in that area that you would file under, lightening up on the criminal, so to speak. This is KMJ.
This is the Ray Appleton Show on News Talk 580 1059 KMJ.
Mamma mia, that is something to ponder. Where these issues come from up in Sacramento. How bored are these individuals when there are so many big things legislatively that they could be working on that impact every single one of us that they don't touch with a 10-foot pole, but they pick up stuff like this that we've been talking about for almost an hour now on KMJ. Remaining in the KMJ studios is Albert Ramirez, the in-house counsel for Albert Ramirez Bail Bonds. Defense attorney Mark Capitan is here trying to figure out where this comes from. It's something that wasn't broken, that has served us well for two centuries. Why did it need fixing if it wasn't broken? During the commercial, Mark was waxing philosophical about something that your brother said, who was a Superior Court judge, about, big government centralization. Could you elaborate on the air what you were saying during the break?
Well, back in the day, they used to have small justice courts in each county. So Fresno, instead of having one centralized court, may have eight, ten courts in the little cities. And so each community had their own representation, and the judge in that community was basically able to run his little community as far as the crime was concerned, and address the issues of the population. When they started getting rid of the justice courts, then they got rid of the municipal courts.
Why did they get rid of them?
Part of all I could figure out is consolidation into a centralized government of court systems.
I think Stanford, it was funding too.
Yeah, but that the problem is it's once again we see that it costs more in the end, that we're now building bigger courthouses everywhere, bigger jails everywhere, et cetera. So in the end, you can't use the excuse of funding, because we don't know where bills like this one right here come up. All you could sit there and say is it because people think they need to control everything and that they think they know better than the general public? And especially with the centralization of the courts, they thought they knew better than the individual judge that was sitting in that community watching the crime go before his desk every single day. And they decided to centralize the government, and crime, you know, to me, goes out of control, or, you know, it's not monitored on a local level.
Yeah. And, you know, Mark, we have great judges here in Fresno County. I'm sure you've litigated in other counties, LA County and places. When you come back to Fresno, you're always like, thank God that we don't have the kind of judges they have in some of these other counties. We have a really good bench here, and they do the best job. Those men and women do the best job they can. But we don't want to shift to the system which is centrally controlled that you're talking about, because the model for this is in Washington, D.C., and they're a ward of the federal government, so they get generous funding, and they have a tiny population. If you were to take that and translate it to our huge population of 40 million people in California, it would cost almost $4 billion to institute a program of government-run pretrial release.
So this, in essence, if this were to become the law of the land, is going to be a much more expensive proposition than what we have now, which is effectively costing us nothing.
Absolutely. And it would be less effective.
So you're saying a $4 billion bill instead of a completely free system like they have right now.
Exactly.
Huh? Unreal.
And then you have to go back to that question again. Why? Why? Who benefits? Who does benefit from a system like this?
You know, the bureaucrats benefit.
How do they benefit?
Well, because they'll have to hire more people in the public employee unions, and, you know, they'll have to hire more probation officers, and I'm sure there'll be some nonprofits that'll benefit from it.
You're right.
But they're thinking that the poor benefits.
The thing is, they won't, because fewer of them will.
No, but that's the thinking that they want to put on this to try to sell to the public. Look what we're doing for those poor indigent people that prior to this couldn't afford bail.
That's how they spin it, yeah.
That's the spin.
Yeah, it's the spin.
The narrative that they want, you know, to the public to digest.
Yeah. And I think it's also their excuse, or their basically way of saying, oh, we screwed up. We didn't build more jails when we could have, or prisons when we could have. And so we're just going to release more of the population.
But that's what this is all about. Every ounce of this, Prop 47, Prop 57, watering down three strikes, this, that, the other thing, name it all.
Yeah.
This, it's just simplified if we built more places of incarceration.
Right.
Which we won't do.
No, and we won't build more dams, and we won't do all the stuff that's necessary. Yeah, right.
Filing that again under priorities.
Right.
We'll have to, unless our population stops growing.
Which it may, because so many people are leaving. You know, I mean, there's going to be an end to that equation someday when it's everybody that is a giver leaves the state.
Right.
Leaving nobody here but the takers and the criminals.
Right.
And then the criminals will consume all of the takers, leaving what? Just the criminals to consume themselves.
And victims, yeah. Well, yeah.
And California becomes what? I have no idea at that point. It's really sad. I mean, it's just, I don't understand. It seems like every week there's something coming out of Sacramento that is out of the blue, that's trying to fix something that wasn't broken, that ultimately winds up costing us more money, and you wonder where the priorities are.
People really have to wake up quick, because, and I'm not being, you know, an extremist or an alarmist. You just could see the train wreck coming down the pipe.
No, it's time to be an extremist and alarmist.
Yeah.
It's overdue. I mean, we need to go that route. We're in big trouble here.
Yeah.
Big trouble here. We will take the final break of the hour. Albert, thank you. Anything you'd like to add before we send you down the yellow brick road to this issue?
You know, I just say that...
This one just got me out of the blue. Mark brought it up the other day, and I hadn't heard one whisper of this.
It's just a myth that people are stuck in jail because they can't afford bail. It's just a myth. Bail is – lots of people get out on bail all the time. The only people who don't get out are not actually eligible because they have some kind of hold or something where they can't bail out.
Yeah, Albert, I thank you. And I'll tell you what, I just – it's all to me in memory of your dad, Albert Ramirez Sr., very famous bail agent up and down California, had people so loyal to him that they would go to Albert all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, just a great guy.
And our collective thanks to Beth Chapman, too, for joining us. She is sharp.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody had any preconceived ideas of what she was like because of the television show, where she doesn't exactly come off as a dummy on that. I mean, she's a sharp lady on that show as well, too. But there's a good reason why she's the president of the Professional Bail Agents of the United States.
Right.
We heard that well exercised over the last hour.
Absolutely. And she flies from Hawaii to all over the United States to help.